559. Janice is going to play through that for us one time.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome you this morning. And that is our desire. And we pray that He will enable it to be fulfilled, that all glory will be to Him. That we might be enabled to worship Him in spirit and in truth in all that we say and all that we sing and all that we do, ascribing greatness and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn for our reading this morning to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. We want to be sure and remember Paul and Ree in prayer and others that are sick. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange gods among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before me, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. May we pray. Father, it is such a blessing to be able to read such wonderful, glorious words in the presence of this people. Words that ascribe all honor and glory and purpose, salvation, deliverance, everything that you give to your people and that you do for them, you do simply because you would. And because we are such sinners, such unworthy people, such unworthy subjects, we thank you that you, for your glory, have done them for us and given to them to us in Christ Jesus, in Him alone. We come before you this morning and we praise you and we honor you and we delight to hear you declare yourself as you do in this passage. We know that beside you is no other, and certainly beside you there is no Savior. And you have appointed yourself our Savior in Christ Jesus, the God-man. And we rejoice in Him, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We worship and praise you in Him and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Father, we ask that you would grant to us that forgiveness that is in Him. We pray that we might know you, whom to know is life eternal, that we might give and ascribe to you the glory in all things, but especially our salvation. We pray for your people that you have spoken of in this very text, that you'll bring out of the north and the south and the east and west. People who are blind naturally, but will be given eyes to see. Who are deaf naturally, but will be given ears to hear. All because of your omnipotent grace. We ask that you would help those that we've mentioned that are sick, people that are away and traveling, and each and every one we ask your blessings upon them, your will and your mercy and grace for Christ's sake to them. And we pray in this service this morning that we might be enabled to worship, that we might be able to worship you by your Spirit and according to your truth. We pray for the one who will stand and bring the message, that you would control him, that you would grant to him that anointing and enabling to speak right things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would bless and help his family, his ministry, and all the things that you call him to do. May they be done for your glory and honor alone. Father, forgive us of all our failures, sins, shortcomings. We know that you have forgiven your people in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray that we might experience and know by your gospel and by your Spirit that forgiveness in our hearts and lives. We thank you for these that have been gathered by your Spirit this morning. And we praise you. We cannot say enough high and glorious things about you. We only know that you're worthy of all praise and all glory. You're worthy of everything that can be ascribed to the one true God in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.
Hymn number 19. And Tim, if you will, or Anthony, if you will, wait on the congregation.
Amen.
That series of meetings down there. We're glad to have with us this morning Brother Miles McKee. It's hard to know how to describe him except to say he's the wandering Irishman. And he wanders here and there preaching the gospel. I'm going to call him a missionary evangelist. I think that about describes him. He ministers in Spain, in the UK, in Africa, and in India. And we're thankful for the Lord who sends that word out to gather that people from the north and the south and the east and the West. And he's a writer, and we have some of his books, a couple of them, The Truth About the Blood, and the book, the most recent one, Amazing Grace, the song that's so often sung and so little believed by so many. So if you like a copy, you can get one. We're running a special today. They're free. And somebody's going to assume the cost of them for you if you want a copy. And read it. If you'd like to be a recipient of an email he sends out called the Wednesday Word, you sign up on that paper that's in the foyer, and you'll start receiving the Wednesday Word. And his wife Jillian's with him,
today, and we love them both and pray God's rich blessings upon them. And I'll have you to come now and preach to us, Miles. Miles McKee.
Thank you for the kind and gracious introduction. It's good to be here. We're on and everything. Okay. It's good to be here again. It's been several years since I've been here. And it's always lovely to come back. And I enjoy fellowship with your pastor. And he's one of my go-to guys. When I don't understand what I'm reading in the Bible, I can ask him, because he knows a lot more than I do. And I am thankful my wife Jillian is with me. She's not always able to travel with me, but it's great to have her too. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my ministry, the ministry that the Lord has opened up, and then we'll go to the Word of God. If you want to go over there to the Gospel of Mark, we'll be in Mark chapter 7, and verse 31 and following. That's what we'll be, by God's grace, teaching and preaching about this morning. But I'd like to get you up to speed with what we're doing. The doors that the Lord has opened up. It's been an amazing journey this last number of years. Gary mentioned the Wednesday Word, which if you don't get it, just sign up. It's free. It comes out every week. But the Lord has used the Wednesday Word to open up so many doors of ministry. We've got a great ministry going in Nepal now. And that happened in Nepal because a man was from Memphis, Tennessee, was hiking in the Himalayas, and he met a pastor. And they became big friends, and the man from Memphis received every week the Wednesday Word, and he started sending him, emailing him copies of the Wednesday Word. And then the man from Nepal asked, "Can I get these copies directly from me?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And I started sending him copies, and then he noticed in one of the Wednesday Words that I was going to be doing a conference in India. We quite often do conferences there. And he said, "Could I attend?" And I said, "Of course you can." And after, and he went, we traveled, we did a bit of traveling. You were there on that trip too, when Daniel arrived the first time. And so anyway, we had a great time of ministry. And he sat down afterwards and he said, "Would you come to Nepal and teach?" I said, "Well, yes." He said, "We do not know anything about the finished work. All they know is the law. That's all that's gone before is the law. Do this and God will like it. Do that. Do the other thing. Do, 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 do. But the message of done in Christ accomplished is not known in so many circles." And so we do conferences in Nepal, conferences in India, and I've got 31 pastors that I teach on more than a weekly basis, twice a week, three times a week, teach them on grace, teach them on sovereignty, challenge them, and encourage them, and build them up. And in these third world countries, India, Nepal, what's the one we did all the 1,000 books? Anyway, it used to be called Burma, Myanmar. In Myanmar, we translated 1,000 of our books, and they were distributed amongst Christian leaders. There's a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. Now, there's opportunity to go, but if you're going to go, give them the right message. It's heartbreaking to see how many people go out from American shores and American churches with no message. Now, that may sound a little bit arrogant. No. God is a sovereign God.
God came here in the person of His Son. He was manifest in the flesh. He is the God-man. He lived for us, and He died for us, and He rose again for us, and it is finished. God in Christ chose us from the foundation of the earth. That message is not being heard. And so the Lord has opened up tremendous doors now in Africa. We'll be there this year. In Kenya, we'll have 600 people at the meeting, and not all of them will be pastors, but they'll be there being taught the gospel. And we have an orphanage. I don't know if we had the last time I was here. We have an orphanage. That's been an amazing thing. We have 30 children, 32 children there, boys. And in India, because of the prevalence of the Hindu religion, the Hindus tend not to help orphans or poor kids begging on the streets. Their idea is, you see, we have got what you call that reincarnation. And if you're reincarnated and you come back as an orphan, that must mean in your previous life you had been wicked and bad. And therefore, if we help you, we're helping a wicked and bad person. And so, the orphans, you see them on the street begging. And I've heard of cases where parents have cut off the hand of a child and sent the child out maimed and wounded so they'll solicit funds in a more readily available way. And so God has opened the door. We've got a great guy there. He's running the orphanage. And Parshu Ram, wonderful. And he's started the church there at the orphanage, and we have a lot of the local folks coming, and we teach them. Guess what we teach them? Grace. Grace. Sovereignty and grace. It's been just amazing. We cannot keep up with the opportunities. One of the reasons we're in the States is we're here to challenge folks to consider our ministry and consider helping us. We live by faith. We don't have any big-time backers, big corporations, anything. But I believe there's enough of God's people, or there's enough of us around who love the gospel, that we can make a difference, join together, work together, help each other. And I'm praying that the Lord, this trip, we are praying, and we have a bunch of people praying, that the Lord will raise up partners to help support the different things that we're doing. Anyway, I have... I could talk to you all morning about the different opportunities, but I'm here to minister the Word of God, and I'd like you to consider with me this morning Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Literally, he was tongue-tied. He couldn't speak. He was tongue-tied. So, he had an impediment in his speech, verse 32, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Epaphtha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Isn't that a precious, precious passage? What a revelation that gives us of the heart of the Lord Jesus.
I love the statement in verse 37, He hath done all things well. That's our text.
He hath done all things well. What did the preacher speak about this morning? He hath done all things well. Not one or two things. He has done all things well.
And so we're going to look at this one of Christ's miracles. It's not recorded anywhere else in the Holy Scriptures. It's only in this passage. It's the story of a simple healing, but a powerful healing nevertheless.
You know, there are other, maybe more spectacular healings that we read about. This isn't one of the most spectacular. It's great, it's wonderful, but if you want it spectacular, how about the healing of the nobleman's son? Remember, Jesus isn't the son isn't where Jesus is, and Jesus just heals, and there's a distance. How about the rising of Lazarus, dead, 4 days in the tomb? Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes forth and he's alive. He's raised from the dead. That's pretty spectacular. This maybe isn't as spectacular as that. But it is an amazing work of grace that reveals to us more of the character and the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want to tell you this, Jesus is a miracle worker, but he is much more than a miracle worker. He is the Lord God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. When we deal with Jesus, we're dealing with the God-man. Somebody say amen. Maybe we're not in the amen church. It's all right if you're not in the amen church, but you agree. Give me a thumbs up. And if you really agree, give me two thumbs up. Amen. All right. So I pray that today that the Lord would reveal himself in a deeper way to us through the ministry of the Word. So verse 31. Again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came on the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. Now, this doesn't mean a lot until you study out and see, well, where was Tyre and Sidon, and where was the Decapolis, and where were they, and what was the Decapolis? Well, the Decapolis was a confederation of 10 cities that were pagan, Greek. They weren't Jewish cities. They were pagan, but they were in that area, but a confederation of these 10 cities. And from Tyre and Sidon, when walking, this shocked me when I discovered this, to walk from Tyre and Sidon to Decapolis was 150 miles. Now, it wasn't just that it was 150 miles. The terrain was inhospitable. The terrain was rough and rugged. And it took a long time to walk from Tyre and Sidon to go that way. To go to Decapolis, well, it would have taken them a long, long time to do it. And so the journey would have been just a very difficult one. And maybe several months of walking to do that journey. Well, there's no recorded miracles during that time. I'm not saying he didn't do any miracles on that trip. But he spent 2-3 months walking with his disciples. And you know what I believe he did? He taught them. Would you like to have gone to that conference? 2 or 3 months of the Master just teaching, revealing who he was, who he is. And so he taught his disciples. I'd have loved to have sat in that. In verse 32, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now, they came out and they asked for help. They brought this man to Jesus and they believed Jesus could cure him, could heal him. But wait a minute, this is Decapolis. This is not Israel. Jesus had been doing his miracles in Israel, Judea, not Decapolis necessarily. And he's been away out of circulation for several months. And yet when he arrives there, they bring this poor creature to him who's tongue-tied. He can't speak and he can't hear. He says, well, how did they hear about Jesus? How did they know about Jesus? Have you ever wondered that when you read that? How did they know? Well, I tell you how they know. The answer's in the Bible. Just flip back. Keep your place there, but flip back to Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Mark chapter 5, 19. Do you remember the demoniac who was healed? He had a legion of demons and he was healed. And then how after he was healed he wanted to go with Jesus. And in verse 19, Jesus suffered him not. That means he allowed him not. But he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion upon thee. In verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. That's where he was from. He began to come to publish how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Oh, what a blessing of a man that was. Jesus told him to go and publish his fame, to tell about him. And he did. Isn't that wonderful? He did it. You say, yeah, that's great, isn't it? Well, why don't we do it too? He's told us to go. He says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. But sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get believers to tell about their master. And I don't think we should bully you into doing that or be bullied into that or threatened into that. But there's something that happens when you meet Jesus. He takes a hold of you, sets you free and liberates you, and he cleanses you from all iniquity and all the filth and all the vile that's gone. Surely, we want to speak about that. Well, this man from Decapolis, he did that. He began to publish abroad all the different things that that the Lord had done. He told the people about Jesus. Maybe it happened this way. Maybe he went home and then he said, just, could I tell you just about Jesus? Could I tell you about Jesus? Isn't that wonderful? How simple does it get? Telling about Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Maybe he said, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, he saved my life. I used to roam around the hills and the graveyard. I lived in a graveyard and roamed around naked. And I terrorized everyone. I've heard of it, you. You're not. You couldn't be the same one. Oh, yeah. I'm him. Not only that, but they would come and they would put chains on me. Do you know what I did with those chains? I just snapped them off. Yeah, I've heard of it, you. Well, what happened? He says, well, I'll tell you what happened. I met Jesus. Jesus came to where I was. And he healed me. He delivered me. He cast the demons out of me. Now, this wee man, I'm sure he didn't understand the gospel the way we do. He wouldn't have had all that information. Well, he'd have had it, but you know. One thing he didn't know, he says, I was dead, I'm now alive. I was in bondage, now I'm free. And it was Jesus that made the difference, the Lord Jesus. And whatever he knew about Jesus, he told. God bless him. I met Jesus, he came to me, delivered me. And so in verse 32, our main text, our main passage, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment to his speech, tongue-tied. And they beseech him to put his hand upon them. Here's a poor soul, deaf, mute. Couldn't speak. But he's a picture of mankind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded our eyes, or has blinded their eyes. Blinded.
so that they can't see. Jeremiah 6:10. The eyes, the ears are closed. And so we were blind. All of us. But God in grace opened our eyes and opened our ears. God in grace came to us, invaded us with His Holy Spirit, brought us alive, regenerated us, and then we were able to see. We heard the gospel and we believed. God came to us. And that's grace. That's grace. And so, just by the way, before I move on, I love what they brought him to Jesus. What an opportunity we have to bring our friends to Jesus. And when I say that, I don't mean necessarily bring them to the meeting. They mightn't come to the meeting. But tell them about Jesus. That's bringing them to Jesus. You know, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And the power is not in us. Brother Gary, you're a great man, but the power is not in you. It's not in me. The power of God unto salvation is in the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16. The gospel of Christ is the power. Bring Jesus to your friends. Tell them. Don't be afraid. Tell them. I'm moving on from there. Now notice in verse 32, these dear folks didn't even ask for a healing. They just wanted Jesus to lay the hands on them. Maybe just to bless them, whatever. But Jesus healed him. Does that not remind you of Ephesians 3 and verse 20? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Oh, that we believed that scripture when we prayed. Thou art come into a king, large petitions with thee bring. He is able. And so they just wanted Jesus to lay a hand on him, and Jesus healed him. Entirely. That was wonderful. And when Jesus healed this man, that was a declaration that he was the Messiah. For in Isaiah 35 and verses 5 to 6, it talks about how the Messiah will heal the deaf, will heal the dumb. And this is what Jesus did. And here we see an illustration of that. And so in verse 33, he, Jesus, took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears. And he spit. And he touched his tongue. Oh my goodness. Took his fingers, put them into his ear. Took his spit. Put it into his mouth. It's wonderful how there's no pattern that the Lord leaves us for praying for the sick. Didn't do it that way all the time. No, but he did it this way. And you know, there's no pattern as to how he draws us in. Now, I believe the primary way that people get saved is sitting under the preaching of the gospel. I'm a gospel preacher. I hope I'm never anything else. But you know, people have been saved just reading the Word. No preacher, just the Word. And the Word becomes the preacher. And the Word brings the conviction. And some people get saved because they go through so much affliction that they turn to the Lord and they cry out for mercy. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit working the whole time. In the midst of your affliction, maybe you're going through some terrible things. And sometimes, that's to draw you closer to the Lord. And especially if you're not saved. Why would you perish? Look to the Lord. Sometimes we get a warning from friends. God uses an amazing amount of things, primarily preaching, but other ways to draw us in. But here, to heal this man, he takes his fingers and he puts them in his ears. Ooh.
It's as if he shot supernatural power through the man. And then he spit. Did you know that when people spit, it's usually an act of despising? Job 30 verse 10, they spared not to spit on my face. People spat on Jesus. What? Yes, the lowly Savior. How did they do that? The wonderful Savior who would go to the cross, who came here from glory, who came here from heaven. Perfect. How were people mad at him? What did he ever do to deserve the violent, horrible treatment? They spat on him. Cleared their throat, then they spat on him. Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, they did spit. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And it was in Matthew 26 and verse 67, they did spit upon his face. Spit upon Jesus. Your Savior was spat upon. Despised. Rejected of man. Now the scientists tell us and the doctors tell us that saliva is filled with germs. Oh yeah. But Christ spat. But his spit had no germs, for he was pure and holy and sinless, born without sin, lived without sin. And that was pure health. And he took it and he put his spit on the man's tongue. Wow, how interesting. And so, how did Jesus know to do that? Did you know that the scientists have also told us that if you have no saliva, you can't speak? You can't speak if you have no saliva. And Jesus gave him pure, innocent saliva to make him speak. How did Jesus know that? How did Jesus... I tell you how. Because he's God manifest in the flesh. He made spit. He made man. He knew exactly what this man needed. Isn't Jesus lovely? Amen. He's wonderful. And so, verse 34. Looking up to heaven, he sighed. Looking up to heaven. This is clearly indicating the source of his power. He's looking to heaven. Did you know that Jesus said, I don't do these miracles, it's the Father that does them? Of course he did the miracles, but he did, the source was the Father. And he looks up to heaven, there's an acknowledgement. How much more do we need to look to heaven? Look to heaven in everything that we're doing. Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2 says, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence cometh mine aid? My help, my aid comes from the Lord, whom heaven and earth hath made. That's where our help comes from. That's where our help comes from. From heaven. Maybe there's an unsaved person listening to me today. Maybe you're here today. Maybe listening in the broadcast. An unsaved person. Let me ask you, to whom are you looking for salvation? Think about that. Dear believer, think about that. To whom are you looking for salvation? Well, you know whom I'm looking to? Christ alone. Not my works. Yes, I go all over the world. Yes, we have an orphanage. Yes, we have pastors' meetings galore. We're training pastors galore. I'm not looking to any of that. Do you know why? Because everything I do is flawed. I wish I could preach. I could preach without flaw. Preach with a total anointing. The way Jesus did it. I've never preached properly. I can't look to my ministry. I've got to look for salvation to Christ alone. And so do you. There's no improvement upon Christ alone. He is sufficient. He is the Holy One of God. God made manifest. He is our hope, our Savior, our Redeemer. And if you're looking to be a good person and say, well, you know, if I'm good enough, God will accept me. If I'm good enough, I don't need a Savior. You know, if you're good enough to heaven, go to heaven by yourself, then Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to come. But Jesus came here to rescue His people, and His people were lost, not trusting in themselves. Lost!
Amen.
Are you too proud to look outside yourself for help, for salvation? Our help has to come from the Lord. I read once about a liberal bishop over in England. His name was very strange. Garfield Bromley Oxenham. And he is famous for saying one simple thing. He said, I would rather go to hell than go to heaven on the back of another man. I would rather go to hell than go to heaven on the back of another man. Well, on March the 12th, 1963, God granted his request, for on that day he died. Don't want another man to save me. I don't want somebody else to save me. If that's how you think, you're lost, my friend. You're lost. Oh, would you come to the Savior? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Trust in Him. In Him alone. And so some people are just too proud to accept salvation as a free gift. Isn't that beautiful? It's free. It's a gift. You don't earn it. Don't deserve it. It's free. It's a gift. But back to our story. Verse 35. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. Oh my goodness, to have deaf ears open, that's a miracle. But to understand what's being spoken in a language that you've never heard. He's been deaf and now he's hearing language. He'd never heard it before, but he understands it. And his tongue has been tangled all these years and he's able to speak. What? You know, when God decides to heal, he really heals. It's amazing. It's totally amazing, the Lord Jesus. And so, the man now speaks and hears. And so, it's almost as if he gets so excited, it's almost as if he knew the old hymn, which he didn't, but hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ, ye blind, behold, your Savior comes, and leap ye lame for joy. You know, this man, God bless him, he's overwhelmed by what Jesus has done. I think that's a great emotion for the believer, for us to be overwhelmed with the Lord Jesus. Oh my. Straightway his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, the more they great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished. Astonished! Astonished! When were we last astonished at Jesus? My dear friend, I'm astonished that he allows me to live. I wake up in the morning, I'm astonished that he gave me a night's sleep without taking me out of here. I'm astonished at his goodness that he can use me in the pulpit. Are you astonished that he could save you? Amazing grace saved a wretch like me. Astonished. And so, and then it says, verse 37, they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Isn't that beautiful? He has done all things well. That's a good description of Jesus. He has done all things
Well, he's done them rightly. He's done them correctly. He's done them perfectly. And in his ministry, Jesus created new eyes, new ears, new everything for people. He's wonderful. He did all things well, and greatest of all, he's given his sheep eternal life. I know my sheep, and they follow me. I know them. I give them life for a few days. No, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Hallelujah. Are you one of his sheep? Have you trusted in Jesus and Christ alone? You're one of his sheep. Sheep will trust. Trust doesn't make you a sheep, but sheep will come and trust. Then you've got eternal life. Does that not astonish you? How wonderful. And so he created, and all he did to do these creation things usually was he would speak. We were talking last night about that speech of his. He comes up to Matthew and he says, follow me. And Matthew follows him, leaves his business. He says to the fishermen, follow me. And they leave their nets. Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I'm going home with you. And see, Zacchaeus comes out of the tree. That call of God is effectual. The effectual call. There's power in that. There's power in our message. I'll tell you, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. I have authority to say that. Because that's what Jesus says. Amen? And so, the full revelation, by the way, and I'll finish with this. The full revelation, or the fulfillment of the statement that says he has done all things well, is when we see the vast company of blood-washed sinners. The vast company from all over the nations of the world, from India, Africa, Nepal, Tamil Nadu, different places, Europe, America, when we see them in the resurrection morning, come up and gather to the throne of God, a multitude. Say, brother, the world's going to hell in a handbucket. I know that's the way it looks, but I'm going to tell you this, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he is here, and we do not know the half of it. God is at work. He's a sovereign God. He's in charge. He can turn hearts. And he's not stingy with mercy. He doesn't dose out mercy with eye drops. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He has done all things well. And that's the gospel truth.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, you are amazing. Help us to be amazed, astonished and stunned that not only you would save us, but you'd save others. And you'd use us to bring the glorious message. You have done all things well. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for this church, for this pastor and his lovely wife. Bless them. I would ask in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember the books, the generous offer, the gospel truth about the blood. Oh, here's some of the titles. Justified by blood, faith in his blood, redemption through his blood, peace made through his blood. Oh, what a price. It's free. An amazing grace. The full title is the most sung but most disbelieved song ever. This is a treatment of grace. Amen. I think that's it. Hallelujah.